Welcome back to Winged and Ready. I'm very grateful to be here today with my friend and my colleague, Julie Binder. She works in our family and philanthropy group. We're going to tackle a topic that is coined friendraising and talking about how not-for-profits can look at donor dollars in a little bit of a different way. I'm going to stop there and keep it high level. And Julie, will you just take a minute to introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sure. Thanks so much, Diane, for having me today. As you mentioned, I'm part of our family advisory and philanthropy services team. I work specifically with our advisors in the Northeast and their client families wherever they are to think about the strategic impact of their wealth, whether that's on the people that they plan to give that to or the causes that they are most passionate about. And that often includes helping client families to think about what are the problems we want to solve, where do we want to solve them, and who joins us in that work. So I am thrilled to be with you today to talk about board members and serving on boards and fundraising.
That's so awesome. And I think the depth of the work that you do is difficult to really codify verbally, but there's so much through the conversations, the exercises, the values of really extrapolating what meaning is for people. And today we're going to take that and focus it on board members, not just the people who are giving the dollars, but the people who are actively supporting missions and goals and objectives of the not-for-profit, and how we can translate that really into getting to mission critical and getting the board members active and bringing those dollars through the door for their charity, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so fundraising. Why fundraising? What does it mean? How should we think about that?
Sure. So fundraising is really the act of board members bringing their networks to try to increase awareness and dollars that are going to the organization they serve. But Diane, I think sometimes people focus a little too much on the financial aspects of a board. And it's really important to remember that it's not just about their dollars, that board members play significant roles in providing guidance to the nonprofits they work with by contributing also to the organization's culture, strategic focus, as well as the financial sustainability, but also serving as ambassadors and advocates for the organization.
Yeah, it's a brand ambassador, but for a mission, right?
Exactly. So we think about these board members as bringing their six T's to bear as it relates to working with the organization. Six T's, you say. Most people have heard time, talent, treasure, and know that they're thinking about how much time somebody devotes to an organization, whether that's as a volunteer or a board member. The talent, so maybe the skills they bring in service of that organization, or the treasure, how much financially they can give. But what we talk about when we're thinking about fundraising is also more about the ties. How are we leveraging as a board member our network to benefit that organization that we care so much about? Testimony. How do we publicly support and advocate for an organization that we are passionate about? And then truth. How do we think about emphasizing our values and how that's illustrated with our philanthropic ambitions as we're serving with an organization to really be aligned with not only the work that they're doing, but the values that they stand for.
And the ties, testimony, and truth, and the six T's, we love alliteration. So time, talent, treasure, ties, testimony, and truth. I think we'll be digging into the last three a little bit more. As you said, it's an ambassador world is really where those ties, testimony, and truth come into play. And board members may not fully appreciate or understand that they have strengths in that area that they can or be empowered to bring to bear for the not-for-profit and the charity. So what should board members be thinking about when fundraising or approaching their networks to learn more about the organization that they chose to be involved with?
That's a great question. I think the very first and foremost place to start is thinking about what are the actual funding needs of the organization I work with. Fundraising is essentially sales, right? You're thinking about what are the what are the needs of the person I'm approaching? What are they interested in? And then what are the potential solutions that I can bring to bear? And the solutions are often things that the nonprofit you're working with, I think that we had somebody say it recently, that it's not just about nonprofit, but it's really about a public service organization, right? Like, what are the things that the organization is doing and has needs for that that potential donor in your network can potentially fund? So the very first and foremost thing they need to be thinking about and knowing clearly is, what does the organization that I'm passionate about need funding for? Mm-hmm. The second thing that I think is so important for a donor who is sitting on the board of an organization and wants to fundraise, what's my elevator pitch for this charity? I think you recently were involved with a nonprofit, Diane, and you had an experience, right, about working with your elevator pitch?
Yes. You can go to the board meetings. You can be so impressed with the passion and the approach and really feel the mission in your heart. But being able to turn around and message that in an effective way when you don't have the ED or the CEO right by your side, sometimes you get tongue-tied. And I asked them, I said, give me a pithy pitch so I can turn around and say exactly what you're doing to my network. Because when I get excited, I want to share the message, but wasn't completely clear on how to do that.
I love that because it shows that you as a board member have a lot of initiative. And it's important to remember that our elevator pitch is not just the work that the organization is doing. You want to take that first half and then you want to add on to that with why you personally are excited and involved with the organization. So this is an important exercise for any board member to go through. I would encourage all boards to spend some time at their board meeting practicing with one another, developing their elevator pitch on this. Or if you're not comfortable or you don't have time during a board meeting, spend some time one-on-one with a member of the development team to hone your comments as a board member.
Yeah, that's so important.
The other two big things that I think are critical for somebody who's going out and fundraising is to ask themselves and be honest with, what am I comfortable with? Am I comfortable as a board member inviting friends to my home, exposing them to the organization that I work with and having them hear a pitch there? Am I only comfortable inviting my friends to a table at a gala that I've purchased? Am I comfortable actually making the ask of them to donate to the organization? And if I'm not, that's okay. I can bring a member of my development team along with me for that ask. I just need to really be honest with myself about, what am I comfortable with?
Yeah, that's important.
And it is. And the last thing I want people to think about is, what kind of givers are my friends or my network? So thinking about, what are the funding needs? What is my elevator pitch? What am I comfortable with? And then finally, what kind of givers are my friends or my network?
Isn't anyone a giver, just a generous person that gives? Like, are there different types of giving?
There are different kind of givers. We think of them really as spontaneous philanthropists, more focused philanthropists, or maybe a transformative philanthropist.
Oh.
So when I say spontaneous, these are people who are reacting to a solicitation or a fundraising appeal. They might give to various causes just when they're asked or inspired. These are people who are really terrific for responding to those social media campaigns, or as a board member, if you're posting on LinkedIn about what the work is that your organization is doing, maybe these are the people who click through a donate now button and add a small contribution. Focused philanthropists are those friends who really love to have a project that they are specifically targeting with their funding. These are people who, for better or for worse, aren't big on general operating support or kind of those knee-jerk reactions. They want to know, what is the very specific program or project that you are raising money for, and how can they be a little bit more hands-on with that strategy? If you have a group of focused philanthropists in your network who are aligned with the cause that you are supporting with the organization that you serve on a board of, these might be a great group of candidates for something like a roundtable dinner.
Yeah.
Invite a handful of people over, have your development person attend that dinner and talk about the very specific, maybe short-term 1 or 2 year need that the organization is raising funds for right now in order to get that off the ground.
So that is truly a focus, like having a topic, workshopping it, and coming together as a collective to get something done.
Exactly. You also have transformative philanthropists. These are people who are more focused on systems change, and they might have a really specific mission for their personal giving, whether that's through their family foundation or a donor-advised fund. These are people who might give to a broad range of causes or geographies, or they might be hyper-focused on one particular cause. Their giving is typically scale and collaboration focused. So these might be people who really become joiners for your cause, or Diane, sometimes they just aren't a fit, right?
Yeah.
If your organization is focused on the arts and they are a climate focused or education focused philanthropist that is focused really on that transformative philanthropy, they may not be the right fit for you. But they might still be worth approaching and talking to because they might have ties in their network who are a great fit for what you're doing. So it could still be useful for them to know about your organization and your passion.
You know what I love about this framework that you're going through with the spontaneity and being focused and transformative and tying it back to friend raising? We all pretty much have an idea of our friends and what they're like and what their character traits are like. So you could almost think about putting your social network into those different categories well in advance of doing any fundraising efforts, right?
Absolutely. I would encourage you to think about your spontaneous philanthropist friends as maybe those who might be really receptive for a social media campaign. I don't think that boards should be afraid of asking their membership to post on a regular basis, whether that's quarterly, monthly, semi-annually, about the work that the board and the organization are doing, whether that's on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, whatever medium it is that you're using to reach those people, because you never know when that spontaneous philanthropist is going to encounter something that you're working on and post there. If you want to take a more targeted approach, though, and think about who in your network might be an appropriate person to approach about a project that they can see a short turnaround on, or somebody who wants to build longer-term transformative capacity for the organization, that's really where you might segment those groups. You might have a curated dinner or cocktail event for those focused philanthropists to talk about that short-term project and get them excited about it. But those transformative or individuals might be those who are really interested in that long-term capacity building, maybe fundraising for a bigger endowment or something systemic for the organization. I've seen groups come together as, for example, a graduating class who wants to make a transformative gift to their alma mater as a group, fundraising for a new program at a university or a high school. Those transformative philanthropists are the people you want to invite to those. And it's not to say that you can't invite everybody to similar events, but just that if you are more strategic and you think about those individuals, their needs, and how that can align to the needs of your organization, you'll just have a greater likelihood of success. And you're less likely to annoy those people in your social network.
So it all wraps back to those T's, right? Because you're thinking about spontaneous, focused, and transformative, but fleshing that out from your ties, testimony, and truth.
Yes, exactly. Well, because you're leveraging your ties, your network, to think about how they can maybe benefit your organization. And you may have a friend in your network who's not going to be a generous philanthropist, but has a particular skill set that could be valuable to your organization. You shouldn't be afraid to ask a friend who's really amazing with branding or graphic design to give some counsel to your organization that's going through a new branding campaign or needs some graphic design skills donated to them. You should be thinking about your testimony in those pithy social media updates. How are you going to publicly support and advocate to your organization and potentially bring people back to you? And then truth, if this organization really emulates your values and illustrates your philanthropic ambition, then your network is going to know about it and it's going to feel really authentic to you as you have these conversations with your network and your friends about how you can see them really benefiting from the organization and benefiting the actual organization. So it's often mutual board service as well as for the board and the organization itself, as well as the individual members.
It'd be such an interesting exercise to go through during a board meeting. I think not only does it benefit the charity, but it benefits all of our skill sets. This is just a skill set enhancer across the board.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fascinating. So how do you engage a board member who may want to share with other members in their family or perhaps younger generations? How do we think about getting others involved beyond just the person in the board seat?
I think that you should have events or days where you encourage your board members to bring their family along with them. Mm-hmm. And Diane, I would actually say have that extend beyond the board members and think about the major donors to the organization. Chances are you interact with one member of a family who's an ardent supporter of that nonprofit organization. Think about structuring days or events in particular where you're encouraging them to bring those children, their spouses, their siblings, whomever else is involved in their giving, and invite those people to experience the organization and the magic that has attracted those donors or board members to it. Because those younger people in the families, one, they're your future donors. If this family has an organized giving vehicle like a donor advised fund or a private foundation, eventually those young people are going to either step in and take over that giving, mm-hmm. or they might be the ones pushing on the family as a whole to move from spontaneous philanthropists to transformative in one or two key areas. And so if you want to keep those younger donors interested and engaged, you need to begin building relationships with them while their other family member is your primary supporter. So you can think about what role do we want them to serve? Do we want them to be our future board leadership? Or are we just looking to increase awareness with a new demographic? Yeah. If we are looking to grow future leadership skills for these young people, we can think about inviting them to join an investment committee or a special fund that we are working on that maybe aligns with their interests. Or we can consider setting up a junior board for mm-hmm. these young people. And starting with these low-hanging fruit, the children of the current board or major donors are a great way to do this. Because I promise you, these Gen Zers out there and even the younger millennials, they are not going to be the type who to silently write checks. Right. They have greater access to information than any generation that's come before them. They want to be involved. We see that in the way they purchase, make purchasing decisions from the companies that they buy from. We see that in their decisions as they go to work for various companies and different social sectors. And we are going to absolutely 100% see that in the way they support philanthropic initiatives.
Right.
These are the group that want to be involved.
Yeah, their truth is tightly tied to their purchasing decisions and how they're involved. So yes. It's exciting to broaden that awareness to a totally new demographic that's going to bring a new energy to the table.
Exactly.
That's awesome. There's a lot of information to unpack in the 20 minutes that we've been chatting. If someone were to listen to this, whether they were an ED or a board member, or maybe, you know, both segments, what are the nuggets you would really want them to take away from this conversation?
Oh, goodness. Well, I would want to encourage them to think about the types of givers that they're approaching. I think that's really important. And think about how you target your messaging differently to those different types of philanthropists. Not only what the message is, but the medium of delivery for that. Remember, we have spontaneous who might be open to things on social media campaigns or direct mail. You have your focused who really want that particular project. And then, and those are people that you might invite with a curated dinner or cocktail event or perhaps a challenge campaign. And then you're transformative. Those are people who are really looking for systems change. They are looking for scale and collaboration. And so you're going to reach those people in a different way. And then I would also really encourage board members to think about what am I prepared with when I am approaching someone for fundraising? The three things. What are the funding needs of the organization? What is my elevator pitch? And what am I comfortable with? And finally, I would want people to think about the fact that they are bringing more to the board service than just their treasure. They're bringing their time, they're bringing their talent, they're bringing their ties, testimony, and truth. And when you show up fully for an organization that you care most about, not only can you bring more value to that organization and the board you serve, but you can be a more effective fundraiser as you are getting others excited about that organization that you serve.
I love that. I mean, really, in my mind, the takeaway and individually, what I'm going to do after recording this is write down my why, write down my truth, and get that pithy bullet point just codified in my brain. So when I go talk to people about the two boards that I'm a member of, it resonates not only with me, but with the people who I'm talking to. So I can figure out if they're spontaneous, focused, or transformative, and give that feedback through to the other board members and the executive committee at the charity.
Awesome, Diane. And I will say, if it works well with for you, I would encourage you to take that as an exercise to your next board meeting and share, I created this elevator pitch for myself. This is how I'm bringing it. I think it would be a great exercise for us as board members to practice with one another and hone our pitches so that we can feel comfortable going out and practicing that testimony in our communities.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time today. And I encourage everyone who's listening, think about your truth in all capacities of life. Julie and I know how to do it professionally when we introduce ourselves, when people say, "Hey, what do?" I think we all know how to do it around our personal life with our friends and our family. But really think about how you do it in your philanthropic life as well. It helps the world. So we should all do a little bit of work to put our thinking caps on and do some good.
Thanks so much for having me, Diane.
Thanks so much, Julie. Take care.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA SIPC.